spring game is this Friday. Been seeing some spring games around college football. Tom Herman era has begun at Texas. Some of the improvements they've made to that locker room. Like, everybody's got a flat screen TV in their locker now. They've got more money than they know what to do with, clearly, down at Texas. But
by the way, your tuition rates are going to go up there for all you non-athletes.
Yep.
We spent it all on flat TVs.
And next, it's the PS5, whenever that comes out.
Air It Out is on the air.
But the Badgers spring game of Friday night this year, Camp Randall. So it is that time of year, college football season right around the corner. Well, it's basically already here. Some Badgers moving on to the NFL draft. Some guys got to fill their shoes with the Badgers. We're joined now by Evan Flood of 247sports.com. Evan, how are you this morning?
Great. Looking forward to the spring game. Should be a good one for Wisconsin that returns a lot on both sides of the ball here.
Evan, I was looking at your 247sports.com, and a little video included a scouting report on Ryan Ramczyk as he goes to the NFL. And I know the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did a piece polling some scouts based on where they projected the Badgers to land in the NFL draft. But just in terms of how difficult it's going to be to replace these guys, you know, T.J. Watt, Vince Beagle at outside linebacker, or Ramczyk at left tackle, who's the toughest person that's moved on that's going to be hardest to replace for the Badgers?
I think it's Ryan Ramczyk, just because Wisconsin doesn't have really anybody, you know, with a lot of experience at the tackle positions that you just necessarily feel good about plugging in there. And obviously there's going to be drop-off when you lose an All-American and, you know, maybe the best left tackle in college football last season. You just can't plug anybody in and expect it to be business as usual. But, you know, Wisconsin has kind of had, you know, a lot of youth on their offensive line the last couple of years. And, you know, this is sort of the spot that they've had trouble with. And, you know, thank goodness for them that their Ramczyk transferred from Division III Wisconsin Stevens Point, because who knows what that position would have been like last year. But right now they have David Edwards in at left tackle, and, you know, he's taken the majority of the reps with the first team offense. You know, I would expect that's going to be his job. But, you know, you got to remember, 2 years ago this guy was playing quarterback in high school. He began his career at Wisconsin as a tight end, and, you know, after a year there he started playing left tackle or right tackle position. You know, he hadn't played since grade school. So, you know, even though he started about 6-7 games last year at right tackle, now he's on the left side for the first time. And, you know, this is just going to be a transition, a work in progress for him. But, you know, the good thing for Wisconsin is, you know, this is a really terrific athlete that you can plug in a lot of different spots and find success with. He was very versatile in high school, obviously still very versatile in college. So he picks things up quickly, but, you know, he's not going to be Ryan Ramczyk on the left side. And, you know, that's a very important position for this Wisconsin offense, and they need him to really step up here in the fall. And, you know, you hope that he can play catch up quickly.
When you're watching the spring game, what are you trying to glean from the information from what you see, as opposed to maybe what the fans are looking at?
Yeah, you know, I don't necessarily get caught up in numbers or big performances, just because it is a spring game and Wisconsin's not necessarily putting everything on the table. It's as close to a game-like setting as you can get before, you know, the season rolls around here. But, you know, I think there's only so much you can take away with. You know, I just think you look for people that are comfortable in their roles and can handle what's in front of them on the field. So, you know, even if a quarterback throws 2-3 touchdown passes in a game, well, how did he handle his reads? Did he make the right progressions? Did he make correct throws? Did he not put the ball in jeopardy? So I think you have to focus more on the little stuff rather than the big picture. You know, if it's a running back, did he pick the right holes to run through? Is he picking up his blocks on third downs when he needs to chip? All that sort of little stuff. I know it's exciting, the touchdowns, the interceptions, whatever it might be. And, you know, I think you try not to overblow those type of things. But, you know, if you're a fan, I would maybe focus more on the little stuff rather than the big picture, just because, you know, Wisconsin's not putting everything out on the table. Guys are going to play a little bit different than they do in the season because they're playing against their teammates. Also, all the offensive and defensive schemes aren't installed yet. They're not going to show everything. So I think you just look for guys that are comfortable in doing the little things in their roles.
Evan Flood here on The Fan. You mentioned that running back position. Broderick Shaw, I think he's got a chance to be a really good player, but I know he's been battling an injury. What is that injury? And then as a result of that, Chris James, the Pitt transfer, getting more and more reps with the first team. How do you think when it's all said and done that battle's going to unfold?
And we don't quite know. I don't think the extent of the injury. I know he was battling something last season and declined to comment what it was as he missed the Cotton Bowl there. Set out the last few practices. We won't get to talk to the players again till Tuesday, so that'll probably come out then when we can get some answers on what's going on there. But, Chris James, I think, he's really increased his stock over the last week or two as kind of being a guy that, maybe is a feature back in this offense. I love his change of pace ability next to Broderick Shaw most. I think, he's going to be Wisconsin's third down back without a doubt just because, he's a guy who can get downhill quickly in a shotgun. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's also maybe their best pass blocker, too. So that kind of helps him helps Wisconsin fill that void of Dari Ogunbowale that, would be very tough to replace on a lot of teams. But, he's also shown he could possibly be a feature back and maybe be a weapon in Wisconsin's main package, too. Now, we'll see what happens when Taiwan Deal gets back from a foot injury. He's going to return to full strength here in the fall and be full go, and Wisconsin knows he's their sort of power guy in their base package. But I've liked what James has done between the tackles and his ability to rip off big runs. So it'll be interesting to see if he can take reps from Deal and Shaw in that base package. But without a doubt, he's going to be an excellent weapon in the passing game too, and give Wisconsin a more dynamic offense when he's on the field.
Evan, I know we are a long ways away from September 1st when the Badgers kick off against Utah State, but how does this schedule shape up with the Big Ten? You take Ohio State and Michigan State off the schedule, and you add, Indiana and Maryland, and it looks pretty favorable, doesn't it? And I know, again, September 1 from the opening day is a long ways away.
Right, and last year we were talking about how is Wisconsin ever going to get through that difficult schedule that they had,
right.
And now that they have, maybe one of the easiest in the country, and as much as you kind of like to see that schedule and think, okay, maybe Wisconsin could go undefeated or have one loss going into the Big Ten championship game, the one thing I don't like about that schedule, one thing they didn't have to worry about last year is it could take a while before, your real weaknesses and your flaws get exposed. I mean, they've opened with LSU or Alabama each of the last 3 years, and you kind of get a sense of who you are as a team. You kind of figure out what are opponents going to attack you? How are they going to attack you throughout the season? You kind of found that out in week one, and then even early last year when you got to play Michigan and Ohio State back-to-back early in Big Ten play, you kind of found out more about yourself then. I don't know if they're going to have that luxury because you could honestly say they're going to be favored in every game on the schedule, even that Michigan game when they come to King's Randall. They could be favored depending on how that season goes too. So, as much as you like to get excited about what Wisconsin could potentially do with this schedule, I wonder how much it may hurt them down the stretch if they are pushing for a college football playoff berth or in the Big Ten title game, because I don't know how much they're going to get challenged. Now, let's not overlook, games against Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska that are always tough. But, in terms of what Wisconsin's bringing back, in terms of their schedule, I think they're without a doubt the favorites in the Big Ten West. But I just worry, does it become one of those things where you're coasting and by the time a big game, a meaningful game comes, are you going to be ready for any team that's able to maybe expose you in a way you haven't been exposed yet?
Evan Flood here on The Fan. A couple more before he lets you go. I want to ask you about Jordan Hill as he decides to leave the program and becomes another exit from a star-studded class. Of course, Nigel Hayes, Bronson Koenig, all the guys moving on, now Jordan Hill as well. But before that, I know Alex Hornibrook is the quarterback, but beyond him, I mean, it seems like there's been a guy waiting in the wings for a while, and I'm looking at the depth chart right now. Is it Kare Lyles? Like, who is the other quarterback where, I know Hornibrook's only going to be a sophomore, but who's going to be the number two?
I think it'll be a good battle between Lyles and the true freshman Jack Cohn. Now, Wisconsin had a scrimmage on Friday, and both got to have extended reps with the second unit. And, you know, both actually played really well and had some of their better performances that, that I've seen this spring. Lyles had actually led the offense to two of their four touchdowns, although, you know, one of those drives started in the red zone. But, you know, his ability to kind of engineer and command the offense, I think, stood out to me. Didn't try to do too much, kind of just picks apart the defense, gives takes what they give them. Cone's probably the higher upside guy who maybe had his best practice of the spring in that Friday scrimmage. He engineered, he got the offense rolling after they were being shut down by the defense, and he engineered a really nice 10-play, 70-yard drive, capped it off with a nice 5-yard touchdown pass where he kind of led the tight end into the corner of the end zone beautifully away from traffic and the defenders. But, you know, he's a bigger kid, 6'3", 6'4". He can also run. He's kind of been a little cautious, I think, with his arm this spring, like most true freshmen. But he started to kind of let it loose and looked comfortable hitting receivers at the second level on Friday. You know, I think it'll be a tight race to see who that number two quarterback is. You know, I think unless it's without a doubt Jack Cone, I think you just have to go with Lyles just because you don't want to burn that red shirt on Cone if you don't have to. So I think that'd be really difficult to do if he's your number two quarterback to kind of keep him out of action for an entire season. So I think the smart money would be on Lyles, but I think Cone, what he did on Friday, I think he definitely showed he could be that number two quarterback as a true freshman.
All right, Evan, what do you think about Jordan Hill moving on? How big of a loss is that, if at all?
Well, I'm surprised because, you know, you can't possibly say what Wisconsin really pushed for it, because it's not like they can really do anything with the scholarship anyway. They already had one available for a transfer for a one-year immediately eligible guy. Now they have two of those available, so it really didn't do them that much help. And, you know, you figured he would be in line for possibly a starting job at the shooting guard spot next year with Wisconsin losing Zach Showalter. They really only have Brevin Pritzel returning at that spot, and they'll have, you know, Colby King and Brad Davidson coming in as guards as well. So it's a little surprising from that standpoint, because his playing time, without a doubt, was going to increase. And, yeah, like I said, it doesn't do Wisconsin a whole lot of good. So I'm wondering kind of what his thought process was other than just wanting to play more. But it's surprising kind of knowing him and knowing how hard he's worked to kind of stick around in this program and make some noise, because he has come a long way since he was a freshman and really worked to have a role on this team. It's just surprising that, you know, at the end of the road here, where with a chance to start, he kind of pulled out and will probably go to a mid-major program where, you know, maybe he could possibly do the same thing.
Interesting. Great stuff as always, Evan. We will chat with you next week post-spring game, and then we can overreact to all the stuff that doesn't happen.
All the non-important things,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it sounds great.
All right, thanks, Evan.
Thanks,
appreciate
Evan.
It. That's Evan Flood, 247sports.com. There you go. So we've talked about the Bucks. How could you not? We've talked about the Brewers. They're hot right now. Eric Thames is killing it. And now we've talked about the Badgers. I guess that leaves Aaron Rodgers, Olivia Munn talk on the
other
side.
We're not going to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I guess that leaves Aaron Rodgers, Olivia Montauk on the other side.
For the latest news on the green and gold, keep it here on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan.